Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Morning, morning, morning. Come in, come in. Take your wet coats off, sit down, make yourself at home. Hello, everybody online. Welcome to the Shore Community Church on this lovely spring Sunday. Speak it out. So, Father, we welcome you this morning. We welcome you in this place. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come and fill us. If you're feeling tired this morning, if you're concerned about a million and one things, I just encourage you to lay them down as you come in and take your coats off. Just lay those burdens and worries down, those things that are nagging at the back of your mind that are causing you to worry. Just give them to Jesus this morning. I'm going to read Psalm 100, which is just a beautiful psalm, before we go into worship. And worship is a choice. Worship is something we have to actively do. We don't just stand and sing, but it's an active thing. So lift up a great shout of joy to the Lord. Go ahead and do it, everyone, everywhere. As you serve him, be glad and worship him. Sing your way into his presence with joy. Sing your way into his presence with joy. And realize what this really means. We have the privilege of worshiping the Lord our God, for he is our creator and we belong to him. We are the people of his pleasure. You can pass through his open gates with the password of praise. Come right into his presence with thanksgiving. Come bring your thank offering to him and affectionately bless his beautiful name. For the Lord is always good and ready to receive you. He's so loving that it will amaze you, so kind that it will astound you, and he is famous for his faithfulness toward all. Everyone knows our God can be trusted, for he keeps his promises to every generation. So as Jamie leads us in a time of worship now, just come with thanksgiving in your heart and praise your way into his presence this morning. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, we're going to praise our way into his presence. Who woke up this morning with an hour less sleep going, yeah, this is the day. Awesome. Will you people lead us? And the rest of us will try and catch up by the time we get to the first chorus. All right, if you're comfortable, please stand with me. If you'd rather sit, that's absolutely fine. We're going to praise our way into the Lord's presence today. He's here. He's here already. Let's join him. Let's join with the angels as they celebrate.
I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I'll raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. Amen. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive. Everything inside of me, I'll raise a hallelujah. I will watch the darkness flee. I'll raise a hallelujah in the middle of the mystery. I'll raise a hallelujah. Lost your hold on me, yes. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar up from we sing a little louder.
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 Gonna sing a little louder.
In the presence of my enemy.
Sing a little louder.
Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let's raise a hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Jesus, we love
Amen.
You.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Good morning.
Morning.
Welcome, one and all. And thank you for choosing to be here or at home with us this morning. I'm Al, and I'm the community messages guy this morning. And I'm going to start with, I've got Nick and Richard Starling. Oh, Richard. You really came to my heart yesterday as we were, quite a few of us took a coach. I didn't take a coach. I took a car and tooted the coach to Nick's induction yesterday. And we saw Nick in his church, and we talked about it, didn't we, Jamie? Standing in his church. And 5.5 years ago, we were talking as a church as to whether we're going to take an associate minister. And Richard Starling said, do we want to raise up new leaders? And we have. And he stood there yesterday. And it was profound and inspiring to see Nick standing tall as the minister. It was amazing. So, church, we must be encouraged by this. We must think, come on. So, it was a great day yesterday. Marvellous. Encouraging. Exciting. And we remember Nick in our prayers. Which is a segue into the prayer meeting, which is on Zoom this Monday. Please join at 7:45, and there's a link on the email. All of these messages are on the email in Church Suite. So if you don't get the email, do contact Carla, because they're all there. Holiday Club or something similar. Not sure if anybody's spoken to Jamie. I know it's on my heart to speak to Jamie, and I haven't yet. So we're going to have to do some urgent decisions in relation to what happens with Holiday Club, what it's going to look like, volunteers, etc., etc. So if that's on your heart, really,
this week, if possible.
It's got to be this week. So that's for me too. This week, talk to Jamie. If it's on your... We have, you know, the Holiday Club has... It can take all sorts of... So if God's talking to you about the Holiday Club and you really feel, oh, it could look like this, share it. Do share it, please. So this week, talk to Jamie. Elisa's art group starts on the 19th of April for 6 weeks. I'm not going to talk about CAP Life Skills, although it sounds marvellous, but I'm not going to talk about it.
See the email.
Big message, cafe volunteers. You know, are we all supporters of the cafe? I think we are. Now, it had two helpers, so it's barely able to function. So I found it really quite powerful with Joe asking last week if anyone's made a tea or a sandwich last week. So I'm going to look at this week. Hands up if you haven't made a cup of tea or a sandwich this week. Okay, so we have two people who might not be qualified.
But you can learn.
To volunteer in the cafe. And the rest of our community, highly qualified. The cafe desperately needs extra help. So even if it's just one session a month, that will make a difference. So do talk to Carla or Sandy. That's a big shout out. It's quite urgent for the cafe because I don't want to talk about ramifications, but they're obvious. If we haven't got enough helpers, we haven't got enough helpers. Right. Finally from me, baptisms. Now, I spoke a couple of weeks ago. I'm not sure if you remember. We took a lot of the youth and lots of youth from the community to a place called Play Zone, and there was these moments, I called them all-in moments, and there were kids almost as high as this roof, it wasn't quite as high as this roof, but it was really jolly high, standing over and looking down and deciding whether they were going to just potentially injure themselves. And there were adults, I was one of them. And that's an all-in moment. And so is baptism. And I fear, as I was writing these notes, I think there are people, might be online, might be here, who have got, they're on the edge and their legs are dangling for an all-in moment. We've got baptism coming up in a couple of weeks. Please, if that's you, speak to Jamie. It's much more rewarding than hurtling down a slide. So, again, I emphasise, if that's you, if that's on your heart, if you're feeling there's an all-in moment, please speak to Jamie, it's coming up, there's a moment coming. So now, this is the time where the slide's going to come up for the offering. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Simon. Thank you, Joe. So we are not, we do not have the... The great benefactor of our church is in front of me here. This is how our church is funded. Our church is funded through this offering. So thank you for your kind and generous giving.
Yeah. Thanks, Al. We're going to sing one more song and then the kids will go out. Following Amanda. Like a blessed Pied Piper leading our kids. Actually, that gets a bit dark. I won't go there. Okay. We'll sing a couple of songs now just praising our God. As we come into his presence, well, we're already in his presence, but as we become increasingly aware that we are in his presence, we come in giving him praise, giving him glory. The prayer that Jesus taught us, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Let's give him praise and honor and glory.
Water you turned into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. like you into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None like you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power.
Our God is greater.
Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God,
Washington.
Water you turned into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. There's none like you.
Into the darkness.
Into the darkness you shine.
You shine.
Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. There's none like you. God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God, our God is greater. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then who could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then who could stand
against?
And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? Then what could stand against?
Our God is greater.
Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. You are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God,
our God is greater.
Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God.
This is our God. This is our God. Let's just focus on those promises. This is who our God is this morning. Amen. He is healer. He is awesome in power. He is greater than any other. He is amazing. Love the flags. They're fantastic. Let's give our God all the glory this morning. Let's pray for our kids and our young people as they head out, and for those who will be looking after them. We just bless them in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for these wonderful young people, these kids and these young adults. Lord, I pray they'd have an amazing time this morning. They would just know your presence, know your truth, know your life as they are taught. And I just pray for those who are leading them and teaching them, looking after them. They will have just be giving from the overflow of what you've given them, Lord. Give them strength and encouragement and imagination and creativity and all the good gifts that you give. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
So kids, see you later. Make sure they get to where they need to be, parents, please. We don't want any lost kids running around.
So we had, in the pre-service prayer, Rachel had a picture this morning of a line of ants walking along, and the voice in her head was saying, God is going to crush you, you're worthless. And that's a lie, of the enemy. We are so valuable, and the rest of her picture was that God picked up this little ant and was holding this ant in the palm of his hand, and he was so proud of this little ant. And then Steve had his word, Zephaniah 3:17.
Yeah, Zephaniah 3:17 says, "The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing." And there's that thing of his love. He loves you, okay? He's not there to squash you. He's there to see you to the maximum. He's there to see you live life to the full and see his kingdom come in, into our lives, into our church, into our families, into everywhere. And there's the last thing. At the start of the service, we had Simon jumping up and down, worshipping madly. Do you know this? It says in Zephaniah, the last bit, "But he will rejoice over you with singing." And the picture I get is that he's dancing over us as we're singing worship up to him. He's singing over us. And he's dancing over us. He's absolutely celebrating. He doesn't want to squish us. He wants to release us. He wants to release us into his kingdom. And so as we come into this period of worship, as we come into his presence, do you know what? I just get that massive sense that he's there to set us free. He's there to take the chains off us. And so as we worship, as we step into his throne room, as we come into his presence, yeah? If you're feeling that you're a little tiny ant, or if you're feeling that you've got an addiction, do you know what? That's the moment. He wants to come in and set you free. So as we worship, as we lift him up, do you know what? He's rejoicing over you and he's going, "I love you so much that I want to see your life utterly transformed by following Jesus. And I know what he's done in my life." And he's going, "Do you know what? I want that freedom." And so, Lord, I just pray, come. We want freedom. We want your freedom over us, Lord Jesus. And we just want you. We want more of you. We want more of your kingdom. We want your healing. As we worship you, we just want to see that release come. So, Lord, mighty God, yes, you are a fearsome and awesome warrior, but you are also my personal friend and saviour, and you want the best for me, and you want the best for each one of us here. So, Lord, come and just have your way this morning and release us, Jesus, to all that we should be. In Jesus' name.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! And all will see how great God.
Age to age.
And age to age he stands, and time is in his hands. Beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three
Hello. We've been singing this morning about so many foundation stones of who our God is, how great he is, how wonderful he is, how strong he is, every single one. And it's a foundation that if we stand on, we are sorted in God. We are sorted in life. And I had an image of doing a jigsaw puzzle, and I've I remember as a kid, the golden rule is do the outside edge first, yeah? And I kind of had this image of all these things that we're singing about and all these things that we can claim about are the outside edges of our lives. And we haven't got the picture, we haven't got the cardboard thing that tells us where to put everything else. But God has. And when we try to put a piece of the puzzle in that's not of God's will or is not the right way for us, it doesn't go in, and we strive and we kick. But I just have this sense that God wants us just to journey with him, and he will show us the picture. He will show us the pieces that we need to pick up and put in the right place. And then we do that bit, and then he leads us another way. Bit by bit by bit, God's purpose for us will be found in him. And we can hit against those edges like a pinball machine, because we're not going out of those things. If we claim all those things, we are sorted. But we just got to take our time with him and find him along the way.
Some really powerful words there. Words with a cutting... Are you feeling the cutting edge on some of the words we've already had this morning? That wasn't a rhetorical question. Good. Please encourage me that we're all in the same place. There's a real cutting edge on some of these words this morning. So doing things slightly differently today, I'm going to preach sooner, and then I want us to go back and have a longer time of worship and ministry to follow this. I'm not going to preach very long. Some people went for the R, some people went for the yay. Yes, I should have made that clearer. Okay. Oh, thank you very much. Don't patronise me. Okay, I'm going to preach briefly, and then we're going to have a time of response, and it's going to be cool. Yeah, come on in, don't worry, don't be shy at the back. So last week we started talking about this series in worship, soul music, worshipping in spirit and in truth. And just very quickly to recap what I said last week, if you've got time, go back and check out that message too. I think that'll be useful. But we talked about the paradox of music, how often we think of worship as being just about the music, the singing bit, and it isn't. It's a lot more than that. Worship is our whole lives. Worship is our everything. Jesus says, reminds them of the commandment in Deuteronomy, love the Lord your God with your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength, with your everything, in other words. And yet, music is still an incredibly beautiful, powerful tool that we should make full use of. It connects with us on ways that are deeper than we can understand sometimes. And that's really powerful for worship, because a lot of what we're going to be talking about today doesn't make immediate, literal, kind of logical sense. It's about stepping out in faith. And I talked about three unhelpful thought patterns that can hold us back in worship. Remember, it was that head stuff is overall, you know, we've got to have lots of ideas. Ideas are more important than feelings. Maybe you were taught that, you know, it's ideas that are important, you know, feelings, emotions, physicality, that's not important. You can stand there stock still, feeling nothing, but getting lots of concepts being downloaded through the songs that you're singing. And it's like, there's nothing wrong with ideas, there's nothing wrong with words. But worship is so much more. Why shouldn't worship? Why would worship not involve our totality, our feelings, our hearts, our minds, yes, but our bodies too? Why wouldn't it? Worship can and should involve our whole selves, our sights, our senses, smells, taste, touch. You know, there's so many ways that we can experience worship. We also talked briefly about feeling limited or feeling excluded by how musical you are, whether you've got a beautiful singing voice or a sense of rhythm, or whether you've got your tone deaf and, you know, you can't quite keep it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. That is not the be-all and end-all of worship. You are a handmade creation. You are handmade by God. God does not make mistakes. He made you, and he made you as a worshiper to worship in some way. It'll be a way that is right for you and a way that he loves and enjoys. So let's enjoy finding out what our worship is, our authentic worship. And we also talked briefly about not getting weird about beauty and skill and artistry and technique and all those good things. But equally, not to denigrate the everyday thing, the widow's mite, you know, the two small coins. All of it, God appreciates, God likes. You know, Dave Steele was sharing at Nick's induction yesterday, and there's a little expression he was sharing from a Brennan Manning story, which will stick with me, this chap saying, "Oh, what is this extra you've got?" This to this older guy who just seemed to have this peace and this assurance. And this older guy said, "You know what, I know that there's a Father in heaven who's awfully fond of me. He's awfully fond of you." Isn't that beautiful? So we can have a healthy engagement with excellence. It isn't about elitism. We can have a healthy engagement with excellence, because why wouldn't we bring our best? Of course we bring our best, but our best will look different and it will mean different things at different times for different people. It's all about worshipping in spirit and in truth. It's all about going and getting in touch with the deepest core of our being, our deepest realities, perhaps deeper than we can even perceive sometimes. There's something going on in worship that is deeper than we can perceive. We might think, well, what, we're singing songs and, you know, something deep can be going on, and almost certainly deeper than we can understand with that kind of literal cerebral part of our brains. And that's really important for what follows now, for what I want to share with you this morning. Because today, this is a message called Battle Cries. This is about how worship brings transformation. Last week was deep cries, this is battle cries. Worship brings deep transformation. It brings real change in real situations. But we won't necessarily always be able to explain that or make sense with that. There won't necessarily be a clear cause and effect, like, you know, oh, well, I put my umbrella up and I stopped feeling the rain hitting me. It won't be that clear cause and effect all the time. Sometimes it might be. Sometimes we're doing something in worship, and like I said last week, in this drama that is this invisible drama that's deeper than we can understand, something is changing. We can't explain it. We can't, with our sort of logical post-enlightenment 20th century brains, we can't necessarily understand it. But it's happening. And we step out in faith and we see transformation. We see miracles. Not always what we'll see. We're going to unpack that a little bit. Not always what we would understand, but God is doing something. Today we're talking about worship as spiritual warfare. Worship is warfare on this level, this deep level that I've been talking about. It's about changing things. It is the power to demolish strongholds and to bring healing and to bring freedom and liberation. It is about the power to change the atmosphere, to change the spiritual temperature of a place or a situation or a relationship in a way. See, I'm using metaphors because I have to use metaphors. It's about changing the spiritual temperature. That's what it does. It's what it's about. It's just like, it's why the subtitle of the series, of the session rather, is Changing the Key, Battle Cries, Changing the Key. It's a bit like changing key of music. Did you notice what we did at the end of that last song? There was a reason for that, so that I could use it as a teaching example. We changed key. We were going, did anyone not notice that? The drummer puts his hand up, fulfilling all of those stereotypes. Thank you, Alan. Never change, never change. We changed key. We went from G to A. We lifted. We went up a tone. I don't know if you felt that, but we lifted. Our voices went up one tone higher and through the melody. There's just a lift. And some composers are really clever at changing key in the middle of lines and that sort of thing. And you might not, if you're not particularly musical, you might not notice this. But you'll notice something's happened, probably. You might not have all the technique to understand what, but sometimes you'll hear the key change. You think, ooh, the music's, there's just a little ooh. Everyone go ooh with me. Just make me not feel so on my own. Ooh. There's a little moment. And sometimes, and that's a silly example maybe, but sometimes worship is like that. It's not, well, you know, we prayed about this or we sang about that and do you know what, the situation just changed. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes it's not so direct, but there is a little, hang on, there's a change in the atmosphere, there's a change in the temperature, there's a change in my attitude, maybe. There's a change in my state as I approach this situation, as well as maybe a change in the situation. So, worship is warfare. We have an enemy. There is a direction that God is moving. And there is everything which opposes that direction. There's everything that pushes back or gets in the way or forms an obstacle. And that's what we are pressing against when we press in worship. That, maybe that's why worship gets undermined, why it gets denigrated, why it gets problematic, why people fall out about worship styles. Well, churches break up because they don't like the music, or this person's playing too loud, or that's not loud enough, or this or that. Worship in churches, anyone experienced that? Is it just me? Has anyone experienced conflict in a church setting over worship? Just me and Simon. No, there's a few more hands. A few tentative hands going, yes, I wonder why. I wonder why. Is it because it's potentially one of the most powerful things we can do and the enemy doesn't like that? I wonder why. It's been often been said, grumbling is the devil's praise music. I love that expression. Worth bearing in mind. Next time you're feeling like having a little grumble. Yeah. We talked last week, and I'm going to just run through three stories quickly, but we talked last week about some of the ways in which worship can be undermined, or we can be kind of disempowered about worship. Our worship can become small and tentative and held back because of those unhealthy thoughts that I mentioned earlier, and there are probably many more. But this week, I want us to be giving thanks and praise for the amazing power of worship to change situations. I want to share three stories with you really quickly, and then we'll move into a time of ministry and worship and just be responding to the Lord in that. So the story, really well-known story from Joshua about the walls of Jericho. And this is the word that comes to Joshua from the Lord. You shall march around the city, all the warriors circling the city once. This you shall do for 6 days, with seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. This is the Ark of the Covenant, presence of the Lord. On the seventh day, you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests will blow their trumpets. When they make a long blast with the ram's horn, as soon as you hear the sound of the trumpets, then all the people will shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat, and all the people shall charge straight ahead. They've moved into the promised land, if you don't know the story. They've moved into the promised land, and there are enemy peoples occupying this land that God's given them. And you can't just ignore it. You can't just keep going. There's a problem here. It's going to be in the background, you know, forever if you don't deal with it. And when we hear a story like that, there's a temptation to remember our post-enlightenment 21st century brains? We're going to go, I wonder if it was the shockwave of the sound of the trumpets that caused the, you know... There's a temptation to do that. Let's just not do that, because we might miss the point. I mean, maybe, maybe not, but that's not what this is about today. Let's focus on the principles of the story that are at stake here. They are following the ark. It's the presence of God. The presence of God goes before, leading us where we need to go. So it's not just I'm going to demolish anything that annoys me. I'm going to demolish the thing that the presence of the Lord is leading me to. So we need to cultivate that sense of the presence of God. We need to cultivate that intimacy with the presence of God so we know where he's leading us. There's some beautiful kind of Hebrew poetry in there about seven. Seven is always about, remember the 7 days of creation, sevens is all about, always about creation. There is about a new reality being created here. There's something, there's the way that things have always been. Maybe you know this, maybe you've got situations in your life. There is the way that things have always been. And it can never change, can it? That person is always going to be like that. That situation in our nation or our world is always going to be. That's just the way things are. Really, God has the power of new creation, a fresh creation. So there's elements of movement, of physical enactment. Remember last week we talked about these things. We might think, well, that's silly. Why should I have to walk around? I should just sit here and download content. No, there is power in all of our bodies when it comes to worship. There is physical movement around the city, and I don't think it was about the vibrations of their feet that knocked the walls down. I think they could build walls a bit better than that in those days. You know, it's not about that. It's about physical enactment. It's about worship. It's about obedience. There's sounds. There's the trumpet blast. There's the shout. Anyone ever had a really good shout, you know, a kind of primal scream moment where you're like, you know, maybe you go down the seafront and out to sea, ah, it's incredibly good for you, isn't it? not just to shout in rage at other people, but, you know, maybe when you're on your own, be kind to other people. But there is power in a shout. There's worshipful shouts. Anyone ever heard a worshipful shout in worship that breaks down strongholds? It's something physical. Again, it's about our bodies. And back to what we said last week, we can be a little bit about our bodies, but there's something powerful in our bodies, something visceral, something real, something that works on a deeper level than we can understand. These are all worship elements that we're reading about. And what happens? The walls come tumbling down. The stronghold is demolished. And a totally new situation, a new creation takes place. That is story number one, demolishing strongholds. The next story comes from 1 Samuel chapter 16. It's all about David and Saul. And David came to Saul and entered his service. And Saul loved him greatly. And he became his armor bearer. That's a really, you know, high up position. Saul sent to Jesse, David's father, saying, "Let David remain in my service, for he has found favor in my sight." And whenever the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, David took the lyre and played it with his hand. Lyre's like a, you know, stringed instrument. And Saul would be relieved and feel better, and the evil spirit would depart from him. Now, again, you might have read those verses and gone, "Oh, hang on, there's some bits in there I don't understand. What's this about an evil spirit from God?" Park all that. Park it all. Park it all. Don't let your 21st century brain take over. This is, again, a very complex story, and the story goes on, and you might know how the story goes on. But anyway, let's just take this for the principle it teaches us. Let's look at what's clear. David, the ultimate psalmist, the guy who wrote most of our psalms in the book of Psalms. Can you imagine what that must have been like in that setting? Him playing the lyre, singing for Saul. How amazing would that moment have been? And we see, as a result of that, profound transformation. Saul, this very tortured individual, very complex individual. You know, and there's a whole story here, but Saul is ministered to. And even in the midst of all that complexity, all that torture that Saul had, all the problems of Saul as a character and his history and everything, but in the midst of it, we see respite and we see healing. David's worship brought relief. It brought peace in the midst of the storms, in the midst of difficult, challenging circumstances. And as I said, you know, there's a whole story here. There's the rest of the story. It's complicated. Life is complicated, isn't it? So sometimes we are moving through challenging times. And God may have a whole story mapped out. And, you know, right here, right now, we're not going to see exactly the thing that we would love to see. And yet, worship can be a place of incredible respite and healing. It can be a calm in the storm. It can be an oasis in the desert that makes all the difference in the long term. You know, if you're going through something at the moment particularly, or if you've been through something, you know, sometimes there's a whole journey, there's a whole process. But in the midst of the storm, worship can bring healing and respite. Last story. Paul and Silas, we read this in Acts 16, just I think last year we in our Acts series we got to this, so I'm just reviewing this very quickly. After, this is to Paul and Silas they're talking about. After they had given them a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them securely. Following these instructions, he put them in the innermost cell, the most secure cell, and fastened their feet in the stocks. They've been beaten, they've been flogged completely unjustly. Now they're in prison and fastened in stocks. Incredibly uncomfortable, incredibly humiliating, demeaning. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. Well, wouldn't you? Suddenly there was an earthquake so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unleashed. You know, their response, they've been treated unfairly, unjustly, but their response isn't complaint. It's not resentment. It's not turning away from God. Well, God, I thought you were supposed to be off. Forget you. It's not that. They worship. They praise. They worship. They pray. Rather than turning away from God, they're leaning into God. They're drawing near to God. And I want to suggest to you that they are experiencing a freedom long before the earthquake happens. Don't you think? If you're in the storm, if you're in the most desperate of circumstances and you can be heading towards God and praising him and worshiping, you're already free. You're already free. Freedom from resentment, freedom from bitterness, these things which wither the soul and darken our experience. They were already free. But yet, still, the bars were broken. An amazing thing happened. An amazing transformation took place. However the chains have come upon you, worship is a wonderful gift that God gives us to see you set free. When you are under the cosh, when you are feeling in chains, when you're feeling in prison, worship. Maybe you feel that was your fault, that you've put these chains on yourself. It doesn't matter. It's within that place of intimacy that you are led to that place of repentance. So even if you've kind of colluded, even if you've kind of, you know, not made some great decisions and you've ended up in that place of feeling bound and chained, it doesn't matter, because in worship we draw near, like in seeking the presence of God, we draw near in intimacy, and in intimacy we know that we find a God who loves us, who's awfully fond of us. And as we repent, as we change our minds, as we turn around from those old mistakes, we know that there is that loving Father with his arms stretched wide, welcoming us back home again. It reminds us we have a God who we can trust, who is awfully fond of us. So we're going to move into a time of worship just shortly, but I just want to kind of leave these thoughts with you, what we've been talking about, because this is a time of ministry. This is a time for us to be digging deep, not simply singing songs, but digging deep into worship, because we know that worship is powerful. Worship changes the situations. So three things for us to be thinking about as we worship together. First of all, strongholds. In your life, in your environment, in your community, in your nation, in your world, I wonder if, and there's already a yes answer to this, is there an enemy presence? In any sphere that you're aware of, is there something which you think, that is wrong, that is an enemy presence? It's like an enemy camp in God's good world, or in your life, in God's good life that he has created, there is an enemy encampment, an enemy stronghold. In our community, in a relationship, there's an enemy encampment. And you can't just ignore it. It's an obstacle. It's a problem. It will be a constant wound, and it's not going to get better all by itself. Maybe you know this. Maybe you've been in situations and you've tried to make it better, but it's just not getting better by itself. It's just there. It's like a tick in your skin. It's just there. It's a situation that seems just too tough to crack. Yeah, that person, that relationship, that situation, that issue, it seems as immovable and as hard and as unchanging and as unbreakable as stone, as walls of stone. But be guided by the Holy Spirit. Remember, it's his will being done. This is not just things that annoy me. It's his will be done. Where is the Holy Spirit leading you to be demolishing strongholds today? Not just today, every day when we come to him in worship. And as we worship, think like Israel. Think of yourself as surrounding that issue. Let your prayers surround that issue. Let your inner heart song surround that issue. And we will see the walls come tumbling down. Amen? Amen. Next thing to be thinking about is healing and respite. Come in this time of worship and receive healing. Receive respite. You don't have to physically come. Maybe we won't. I'm going to hand over to Jo in a minute, and she's going to kind of MC and curate us as we worship together. But receive healing, whatever that looks like for you. Now, it might be exactly what you would hope for. It might be that the healing might be obvious, but it might be less obvious. There might be, remember with Saul's story, there might be a whole story here that needs to be worked out. And this is just a moment in that story. But even in this moment, God is so good and he's so loving and he wants to bring you healing and respite in this moment. Let worship be a place to be restored, to be reassured. Let it be comfort in the valley of shadow. Strength to walk the path ahead with faith and trust and peace. And lastly, I want you to be thinking about freedom as we worship. Do you feel like you're held captive by something? Or it might be someone else that you know and you think, I know that that person is in chains over a particular issue. You know, the church outside of Paul and Silas's prison, I'm sure we're praying for them as well. Do you feel like you're in prison? Do you feel like you or someone you know is in chains? Maybe it's unfair. Maybe it's unjust. Completely unjust, not your fault. Or maybe you did kind of collaborate with this in some way. Maybe you did kind of walk into it. You made mistakes. There is temptation. There is always temptation. You know, but sometimes that's self-medication. Sometimes we, you know, because of the pains of life, we self-medicate. We self-medicate in all sorts of ways. You know, maybe it's a substance. Maybe it's an activity. Maybe it's something we do just to make ourselves feel better against the pain. But God wants to set you free from the pain. He doesn't want you to feel shame about the issue, about the medication. He wants to set you free from the pain. Cut it off at the root. Or maybe it's someone else, like I say, that you're aware of. In worship, we have the chance to reset, to yield to the Holy Spirit. Maybe we need to repent of something, and God brings freedom. He brings that change to the spiritual atmosphere, that change of key, and then we move forward however he leads us. So I'm going to hand over to Joe. Just band, if you want to start getting yourselves plugged in. I'm going to hand over to Joe if she's got anything else to share, and just as we get set, and then we're going to go into a time of worship and ministry. If during this time you feel that God's given you a word to share or something like that, just come and have a chat with Jo. She's going to have the power of the microphone. Use it well. Use it wisely. And we'll go from there.
Thank you. There's been a thread this morning in our pre-service prayer and what Jamie was saying. And I just wanted to connect that. So Jamie was talking about Joshua and people walking around the walls. So they were being obedient, but they had to step out and they had to actually walk around the walls as the Holy Spirit told them to do. Sylvia brought a word earlier. Do you mind if I give it? And it was about Lazarus in the tomb, and he was dead. He'd been dead for 3 days and he stank. And Jesus called him forth. But Lazarus wasn't a puppet. Jesus didn't have Lazarus on strings that made him get up. Lazarus, in his stench of 3 days of death, had to get up and he had to walk out of the tomb. And I think that's part of the call today, is there's a change. You have to step up, you have to step out, you have to step into something new. And so as we go into worship, it might be for the first time you lift your hands to receive the gift that God has for you. Or it might be you want to, Celia brought a word about stepping over the line this morning. We've got a line at the front here. You might want to come up the front and be bold and just step over the line into something new. But I'd encourage you this morning just to step into what God has for you, the freedom and the change. I'm not going to do personal ministry, but if you want personal ministry at the end, I can pray for you at the end. But it's a time of you doing business with God, with Holy Spirit, yourself, of what is holding you back, whether it's smoking, whether it's, I don't know, too much social media, whatever it is, it's your time to do business with God and really just step into what he has for you.
Feel free to stand or sit. You might want to kneel or lie down. There's nothing worth more that will ever come close.
Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence,
forgive somebody that's caused you harm, that's wounded you. You might need to forgive, or you might need to repent for something that you've done yourself or put yourself in a position. Just ask the Lord, is it forgiveness? Is it repentance? Is it both? Just take a moment with the Holy Spirit.
Freedom reigns in this place. Showers of mercy and grace falling on every face. Amen. There is freedom. It's freedom reigns in this place, showers of mercy and grace falling on every face. There is freedom.
You might also need to forgive God. That sounds slightly off the wall, but we harbour things against God when he hasn't healed, when things haven't gone how we think they need to go. You might need to forgive him.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Lift your eyes to heaven. There is freedom. Lift your eyes to heaven. There is freedom. Freedom reigns in this place. Showers of mercy and grace falling on every face. There is freedom. If you're tired, if you're tired and thirsty, there is freedom. If you're tired and thirsty, there is freedom. Give your all to Jesus. There is freedom. Give your all to Jesus. There is freedom.
We were saying earlier that sometimes it's something physical, which can seem weird because why do I have to do something physical? But it's about obedience. It's about being prepared to step out. It's about being prepared to take a risk sometimes. If we're not prepared to take a risk, how serious are we about the issue? It might be something as simple. Only you will know. I won't tell you what to do. Only the Holy Spirit can guide you. But maybe it's just something as simple as holding your hands out like this as if to receive. You know, if you're asking God for something, you know, to hold our hands up to receive that. You might feel you need to do something more urgent. You need to raise your hands. Maybe you need to come out the front or kneel where you are or kneel here or stand to respond in some way. To do business with God this morning.
Freedom reigns in this place. Showers of mercy and grace falling every face. There is freedom.
I was getting something similar to what Jamie was, actually. At the beginning of the meeting today, I saw in the spirit fire. There's fire on the floor. There's fire in this place. The fire was already here. There's fire in this place. The fire of God is here in this place. And you know, there was that moment in the scriptures where Jesus came to the disciples walking on the water, and Peter alone out of the 12 disciples said, "Lord, call to me. If it's you, call to me and let me walk out across the water to you." And I feel that Jesus this morning is calling us to walk out across the fire. And, you know, it may be you're quite okay where you are right now. It may be that you're quite okay in your seat doing business with God. But whether it's metaphorical or whether it is an actual physical step, I really feel that God is calling you, he's calling me, he's calling us to step out, but instead of onto the water, onto the fire, onto the flames of his presence. And if you fear like the eyes of others will be burning into your back, if you feel there'll be that sense of burning, you just remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They did not get touched by the fire when they were in the fiery furnace. God is calling you into the fire this morning. He's calling us, calling me into the fire. There's so much more. There's so much more for us. Not just now, but there is so much for us in God that he's calling us into. We haven't begun to scratch the surface. And if there's anything in you holding back this morning, say, "Jesus, call to me," and respond to him and walk on the fire this morning. Walk out on the fire. Respond. Don't let anything, don't go home having held back this morning. Do business with God. He has got so much more for us.
There's life in that reaching out. The women with the issue of blood reached out and touched the hem of his garment and found healing. It's when we step out and reach out and touch him that we find healing.
Every prison, Jesus reigns on high. In Isaiah chapter 8, there's words that I think apply to us this morning. We've heard about trusting God, taking a step forward in faith. The word fear in the Old Testament carries two meanings. One is the sense of humility and awe and dread, even in the face of majesty. It also carries the meaning of reverence. So I'm going to read this verse using both those meanings because I think it may apply for some of us today. Do not fear anything except the Lord Almighty. He alone is the Holy One. If you fear Him, you need fear nothing else. If you reverence Him, you need reverence nothing else. I think the Lord says to us, it's a place of priorities. If we put our trust in God, if we reverence Him, that's the place where God not just rejoices in us, but loves us in a way that touches the places that we can't reach in any other way. I will fear the Lord, I will reverence Him, and I need reverence nothing else. For nothing else has any kind of power over us because we are under the Lordship of Jesus. Stand in awe of Him. Amen.
Just got one more thing. I can't remember whether it's in Psalm 1 or Psalm 2, but it's the Lord, you know, God sits in heaven and He laughs at His enemies. He knows he doesn't need to be intimidated because He is more powerful, the enemies. And I just think He wants you to know that whatever you're facing, that God sits in heaven and He laughs. Not at you in your troubles, but He laughs at your enemies because He knows that as we trust Him, the enemies can be overcome because the name of Jesus is more powerful than anything else.
Amen. I just want to encourage you. I want to encourage you as we draw our time together to close. This might be a bit weird for you. Some people are really comfortable with this sort of thing. Some people are really comfortable with worshipping together and minister and receiving God's ministry in this time. But remember what I said before. This is working on a deeper level. Don't worry. Don't worry if you find this awkward or difficult. Don't worry if things don't immediately make sense for you. When we worship, stuff happens. God is working, like Sylvia was just sharing. God knows. God knows what's happening. So I want to encourage you today. For those situations that perhaps were in your mind, things that came to you, things that you were wanting to pray for or ministering to, God has heard your cry. God has seen your heart. And God is on the move. It's that wonderful bit in the line, The Witch in the Wardrobe, isn't it? They say, Aslan's on the move. There's this constant refrain, Aslan is on the move. And everyone's going, yeah, come on. Because they know what's coming. God is on the move.
Just got a testimony from Sue here as we finish.
I just want to say that you all know I've got a broken shoulder. I went for my pre-op on Monday and they told me everything was great and they were going to take me in this week to do the surgery. And then they got a blood test result and it showed that my sugar levels are too high. So they said they can't operate on me, it's too dangerous. So I can't do anything until I get them down. And I was so upset, I sobbed my heart out. I went home and I asked Alexa to play me some music. and she played me "Great Is Thy Faithfulness." So God does laugh. So I stepped over the line and I thought, you know what, I'm not having this. This is not from God. This is just something, it's just a little blip in the year that I've had to put up with. But you know what, I got up this morning, my sugar levels were 6 and that's lower than they've ever been.
Amen.
So just keep praying for me, because if I can do it in a week and they get another blood test and it's down low, they'll operate.
Amen.
But thank you all for your prayers.
Thank you, Sue.
There'll be an opportunity for worship, for prayer, if you'd like individual prayer down the front at the end. There's coffee and tea out the back. God bless you. See you next week. Go forward and worship and change the key. Change the spiritual atmosphere as you worship and praise. And we will see those strongholds tumbling down, those chains broken, those people healed and restored. Amen.
Amen.